This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we are 58 years of service to our clients and community. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we welcome you, the rich, the only listener, to our family, because relationships matter to all of us. We are Cherry Hill Volvo.
I want to welcome to the show, Ken Cuccinelli is the acting deputy secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, who joins us here in Philadelphia. Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Appreciate you making the time today. By the way, is Philadelphia also an anarchist jurisdiction yet? Because if not, we should be. How do we get nominated for that?
How do you apply for anarchism? Well, obviously, the attorney general's off to a blazing start with New York, Seattle, and Portland. But that doesn't mean everybody else is in a good place. With the cooperation we don't get from Philadelphia, certainly at the Department of Homeland Security, is not a plus. But some of the other factors that the AG was looking for are not there. So believe it or not, there in Philly, things aren't as bad for you all in terms of the direction they're going than they are for some other cities.
That's amazing to me. It really is. But I guess it's because I drive by the homeless encampment every day. I say, we can't tailgate. We're not allowed to tailgate, but you can be at a homeless encampment. So, go figure. But New York being a anarchist jurisdiction, I mean, obviously law and order is a major issue in this country right now. Where do things stand? We have attacks on law enforcement officials. We've got the continued violence in certain cities. This is a priority, obviously, for Department of Homeland Security. Where do things stand right now?
Yeah, absolutely. The president's got us sort of leaning forward on all of this. And we're in a lot of these cities. We're still in Portland at an expanded level. We've got people in Louisville as we await a Kentucky Attorney General ruling there. And, sadly, we're there because we expect violence regardless of whether the people involved actually like the ruling or not, which points up, I won't say the absurdity, but the fact that these sorts of things are an excuse for some of these violent actors and anarchists. So we are also working with the Department of Justice in over 10 cities around the country on Operation Legend. There have been over 2,000 arrests over the course of the last few weeks, couple of months, really, in Operation Legend. And that's aimed at just the rise in violence in many of these liberal-governed cities. And that all traces back really to years of the policies they have and the leniency. You look at New York, there's no bail policy or low bail. And you're just inviting criminals to come out and commit more crime. The 80-20 rule tends to hold. 80% of your crime comes from 20% of your criminals. And if you're just going to let them walk right out a revolving door, then you're going to get more crime more quickly. So that's a problem in a lot of cities. It's not something the federal government can solve. You solve it there locally with how you vote, and those elections have genuine consequences. We've got a tough on crime rule of law president, but that doesn't mean every governor and mayor is willing to cooperate to keep peace in their own community. That's what's so amazing to me.
Yeah, no, that is amazing, Ken Cuccinelli. It really is. It's shocking that they can't distinguish the difference between a peaceful protest and violence. And clearly,
violence,
we all support peaceful protests, but there's so much violence that
takes
place. And it's they keep acting like it's not happening, like we can't watch it on television for ourselves or something.
Right. Well, right. You've got these mainstream media reporters standing in front of a burning city saying, well, it's another peaceful night here in Portland,
right.
Or really? really? Are you blind? What, you know, what's going on there? But I have great faith in the wisdom of the American people. They see through junk like that. And of course, when it goes on and on and on, there's only so much the left can spin this. We can, as you said, we can see it for ourselves, and we know what's needed to be done. This president knows what's needed to be done. Public safety is the number one priority of all three levels of government. All three levels of government. Now, at the national level, that can take a broad form of national security, but that's the first responsibility of government, is keeping peace. And that's all this president wants. You know, whether it's cities or states that are blue or red or green or purple, whatever, he just wants peace in these communities. And he's pushing us to lean forward within the boundaries of our jurisdiction to do everything we can to make it happen. And we'll keep doing that.
I'm glad to hear that, because it's important for everybody. Acting Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli joins me, of course, Acting Deputy Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. It's great to have him with us today. You're a Jersey guy like me, so let me ask you this question. Our state has been at the forefront of corruption and voting voter fraud. We lead the way. We're very proud of that, of course. How do we make sure...
Congratulations.
How do we make sure that we have an election coming up in 2020 that is actually secure, not only from domestic actors, but also foreign actors as well, who might be trying to influence the election?
Well, let me start with the foreign, because that's where more federal responsibility resides. And, you know, we are actually in a better, more secure place today than we were 4 years ago. On the federal level, in terms of security against cyber attacks, all 50 states are talking to us and each other, which is three times as many as 4 years ago, if you can believe that. And we're talking to the states. We're telling them in classified channels what we're seeing, what they need to worry about, what they need to adjust for. That didn't happen 4 years ago. They didn't share information of any significance with the states, so they had no idea what was going on around them. So we're in a very good place in terms of security versus, say, China, Russia, Iran. They're the main actors here. You know, that brings it back down to the states. And states, as the Constitution says, are responsible for elections. And they conduct them. Federal government is intentionally kept out of the mechanics of the elections within any given state. But one of the real benefits we have is, as we like to say, is if you've seen one state's election system, you've seen one state's election system. And because they're all different, they've all got their own nuances, there's no way to just come up with some fraud program that's going to work in more than one state, you know. So that really reduces your fraud threat to a local one within a given state. And I will say this, look, we worry about it. I'm paid to worry, you know, but states have done this before. The places I worry about the most are the ones who have been changing their system of voting. So they're doing something for the first time during a presidential election. That's always a little dicey.
Yeah.
You know, Nevada comes to mind. You've got a few states that are doing the all mail out ballots, where they mail everyone a ballot, not an absentee application. So there's an exchange on, you know, two exchanges to provide for more security. I worry about that. I'm not the only one. There are states who've been doing it for a long time, and they've got sort of their system down. Washington State, for instance. But Nevada hasn't done this before, certainly not during a presidential. And with COVID, we all know less people are going to vote in person, though that's perfectly safe if it's done right. And all the secretaries of state are zeroed in on doing it right. But we're still going to see higher absentee or mail-in vote counts. And that requires a different type of security. That's not so much an internet issue and a cybersecurity issue as it is facility security and sort of a custody of the evidence, to be a lawyer for a moment. You know, you've got to be able to track those ballots at every step of their life and know where they are and who has them and that they're supposed to be where they are and those sorts of things. But that all lands with the states and locals. I will tell you this, your listeners who are concerned about ballot security, who are concerned about fraud in the election, there is absolutely something they can do about it. They should go out and they should become election officers. Anybody can do it. Huh. Normally this is retired people. So people who are below 70 and who don't have medical conditions should think about doing this year. You can, you know, 100,000 people would put, if they were spread out across the country, would have one person in every precinct, just about, roughly speaking. And you're there to count the votes. You're doing it. You can't really scream about a problem if you're the one doing it. So I would urge your listeners to, you know, call your local registrar, clerk, whatever you call them in each of those states, and sign up and get in there and do it. Yeah, Jersey's got an interesting history, but, you know, you flood them with honest people who care about the rule of law, and you make it real. Think globally, act locally, right? And this is an example of how people can do that.
That's great advice.
One last point on this. We are going to count votes slower this year. That's not a problem. I don't want people's paranoia, you know, going off, and I'm a skeptic, so that happens quickly. but
at least you can recognize that. That's important.
Oh, yeah, that's right. On election night, unless it's a landslide, we probably won't know the winner that night, and that's because we've got slower voting, vote counting going on because of the additional mail-in voting and the way things are changing under COVID. And just if you just think of how people stand in a room when they're counting ballots, that's going to be different this year.
Right.
So, you know, I just want people to be prepared for that. You know, if you don't know who won the presidency by 1 a.m. Eastern time, it isn't because there's some nefarious plot, though you will see lots of those on the Internet. And we want to make sure they don't catch hold. It's supposed to be slower than 2016. That means it's working right. And like I said, unless it's a landslide. Just everybody should expect that. And you should fully expect the one thing these foreign actors are doing is the misinformation stuff. Every hot topic. So when the ruling comes out in Louisville on the Breonna Taylor situation, you're going to see the Chinese media is going to comment on it. The Russian people are going to comment on it, and they're going to try to drive both sides or all sides crazy. They try to spike anger and distrust and paranoia. Their goals aren't related to the election. We focus on the election, but let's take Russia. Russia's goal isn't this election. Their goal around the world is to undermine Western democracies and the confidence in them, because it raises Russia up by tearing all the rest of us down. They want division. They want us fighting amongst ourselves. And so they use every issue, whether it's Portland, it's the violence in the cities and around the country, Ferguson back a few years ago, you know, anything like that, you'll see them swarming. And the Chinese have actually overt media. They've established enormous media empire, and they do it overtly, much more so than they used to. So you'll see all of that going on, and we need to not, you know, retweet Russia, Chinese, Iranian opinions and things, because right. We're doing their work for them by doing it.
Well, that's an excellent point. Excellent point. This has been fascinating. I'd love to have you back on the show. Maybe we can chat before the election, too, as we get closer.
Glad to.
That'd be great. Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli. You can follow him on Twitter. He's on Twitter at Homeland Ken. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You have a great day.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.